Let me ask you something. You remember a TV program, it's called Deal or No Deal. You ever watch that? I like that. I like that. And all down through there, they make choices, right? They pick so many numbers, and then they offer them so much cash, and you know, and sometimes they'll throw in different things with the money, especially if they're winning. If they still got them millions up there. And in other words, the further it goes, the sweeter the pot gets, right? Or it could go the other way. If you knock out the big number first, well, you know what I'm talking about. I want to talk to you tonight about deal or no deal, but change it a little bit to peace or no peace. God makes us offers. It's up to us to accept it. Or we can reject that offer like they do on TV and go for broke, so to speak. And a lot of them do just that. You know, I try to tell them what to do on TV and they don't listen to me. And then I think, whoa, that wasn't right. That's right. But one thing for sure, as long as we do what this book says to do, we'll never go wrong. Amen? Because first of all, we need to establish something in our mind, set in our mind, in our heart, that this can't be wrong. Now think about it. We say that easily, but do we really, really, really believe that? In other words, it's impossible for this. I've had several people over the years to say, but what if? I said, that can't be. That's impossible. Well, how do you know? I just know. Because they don't believe. They're what we'd call non-believers. And they don't know Jesus Christ. So therefore, they can't trust him. You can't, because you don't know. Come on in. We're running team in a truck. For me, the hardest thing to do, and I haven't done that much on purpose, the hardest thing for me to do is lay down the sleeper and somebody else under the wheel, you know. I taught Jan how to drive, and so I couldn't complain about her. And I'll never forget the third time she was ever under the wheel. I pulled my shoes off, started to undress, and she said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to bed. You going to bed? I said, absolutely. I can die back there as good as I can up here because it ain't going to do no good to holler woo. So you're on your own, kid. So I climbed the sleeper and went to sleep. But I knew she wouldn't take a chance. I trusted her. See, I had learned that I could trust her, right? The non-believer haven't learned that they can trust Jesus. We said easily. But then, really, with believers sometimes, Christian, born-again Christian, do we really believe that? When it gets right down to the nitty-gritty, do we really believe that? Turn to page 11. Should be Matthew chapter 10. And it says, peace or no peace. Remember, we're talking about that. By the way, Jesus didn't come to bring peace in the world. In fact, we're going to read that right here in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34. That should be on page 11 in that little Bible. You know, when I first read this, I thought, good gracious alive. What a statement that Jesus Christ makes here in Matthew 10, 34. He says, do not think that I come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but what?
A sword.
For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother. Now, does this sound like, something sounds wrong, don't it? I mean, really now, it don't sound right, but let's go on. I have come to set a daughter against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. There's a reason for this. Now, stay with me. He who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, he's saying here, and another place in the Bible, he says, I'm supposed to love my wife as myself. I'm supposed to love my wife totally. But here he says, if I love her more than love Jesus, though, I'm wrong. What, he says, I didn't come to bring peace because I'm coming in and changing everything or a lot of things that you believe. I'm going to teach you the truth, and sometimes the truth hurts, doesn't it? He calls us out of our, even as Christians, he'll call us out of our comfort zone sometimes. Step out a little further, right? Faith is like a muscle. Until you stretch it, it won't grow. And it's kind of painful to stretch it, isn't it, with a muscle. Kind of, it hurts. But in the long run, it'll pay off, won't it? Faith is the same way. To receive his peace, to walk in his peace, is total commitment to him. We commonly use the term, how many have ever heard the term, I made him my Lord and Savior? We say that a lot. That's backwards. That's backwards. We make him Savior as soon as we're born again, right? As soon as we say, Lord, forgive me my sins, come into my heart, whatever, we're saved right then. You have to learn how to make him Lord. The word Lord means boss. The word Lord means he calls a shot. When I say he's my Lord, that means whatever he says, I'm going to do it. And can I say that? We have to ask ourselves, can I really say that? Can I say he's my Lord or my boss? And many rejected him when he came too, didn't they? A lot of people said, hold it. I don't want this. But then a lot of people followed him. Just like today, isn't it? There's 150 trucks here, four or five of us in here. You know, that's about par for the course. Of course, sometimes we have it standing room only. We know that too. And that's great. That's a blessing. But in comparison to the population of the world, probably we're the minority as born-again believers, wouldn't you say? And it's because what he said here in this verse, at the end there, he said in verse 38, and he who does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it. In other words, we've been working all of our life to get something, shall we say, a home or whatever. Nothing wrong. But then God comes along and says, leave that and come with me. Remember the story with the disciples when he picked his first one? They were there fishing, right? Peter was an owner-operator. He had his own boat. In fact, he had a fleet of boats. Peter was a wealthy man. He really was. If you study him out, I think you'll find that he was wealthy. But then Jesus come along one day and said, come follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. The Bible says they dropped their nets and immediately went with him. That's trust. Stupidity or trust or faith. No, it's flat trust. But there was something about Jesus that the ones that did follow him knew they could trust. Just almost instantly, you know, he had that personality. Well, he was God. That helped. That helped. And he spoke with authority like they had never heard. But everybody did. Turn to page 97, John chapter 1. Everybody did not receive his teaching, and the reason I want to mention that to you is when you're going out and telling people good news, tell them about Jesus, some people ain't going to like it. They're not going to accept it. They don't want it. You could tell them anything you want to, they're just not going to accept it. They don't want it. But we know from the peace. We were talking about this in Sunday school this morning, as a matter of fact. Different ways to witness, and one of them was experimentally. In other words, tell them what happened to you. And that, to me, is the best. I guess because that's what I do. But I mean, that's where the Lord uses me. In other words, if Carrie was telling me this is what happened to me, you can't argue with that. I mean, if he told me the Bible meant so-and-so, I might could argue with that. Well, that's your opinion. But when you say, this happened to me. See? And that's kind of what Jesus was saying. He said, I know what I'm talking about. One thing that threw him off is when he said, basically, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, I created earth. I am God. Wow. That really, you know, that really stopped the peace. And said, hold it. This guy's a blasphemer. They call him all kinds of things, didn't they? You at John chapter 1, page 97? Look at verse 11 with me. John chapter 1, verse 11. He came to his own, and what happened? What's that next?
They did not receive him.
Why? But again, he came to the Jewish nation, and he didn't deny any of the Old Testament, but he put a new slant on it, so to speak. You know, he said, I didn't come to abolish it. I came to fulfill it. And introduced grace that they didn't even know what it was. And a lot of them didn't buy into it. But now, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Notice, believe is in the present tense, not past tense. Believe, ongoing. The King James would say believeth. E-T-H in the King James means ongoing, okay? Everywhere that suffix is, that's ongoing. You know what I'm saying? Not past tense. So, and I hated English. I've already shared that before, but I enjoy it now. I love it because of how the Bible is. I'm a dissector, okay? I like to tear it apart because I don't care how you read the Bible, backward, forward, upside down, it says the same thing. It never contradicts itself. And it was written over what, Lonnie, 1,600 years, is that right? Something like that?
1,600 years.
And
40 different people.
And yeah.
Different, all kinds of backgrounds.
And it all matches.
The same thing.
The odds of that is beyond astronomical. Yeah. Even if you had a group of Southern Baptists or a group of Pentecostals or a group of Catholics, I mean, if they're all the same, it'd be a miracle to get all of it to match.
Yeah.
But like you say, these are people from all kinds of different backgrounds. But the difference is, though, is the Holy Spirit was their common bond.
Yeah.
Right? The Holy Spirit actually spoke it. They just wrote it. They just did what... Anyway, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, not of the will of man, nor of flesh, but of God. There's that born again. That's when it changes. We leave off the natural. I mean, we're all naturally born. I mean, we're all born of a woman. But we need that. That's why he used the term born again. You start over, right? John chapter 3 told Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And of course, Nicodemus said what any human being would say is, I've already been born once. What am I going to do? Go in my mother's womb and be born again? He didn't understand that. And that's why the truth or the Bible is rejected, because we're trying to apply logic to it. It won't work because it's supernatural. All right. So have you received him as Savior? Okay, that's good. You're born again, ready to go to heaven. But a lot of times I've seen Christians who, not a lot of time, but sometimes, I better safely say that. I meet Christians who are not living in peace. And you think, what's wrong? Well, maybe there's a catastrophe in their life, you know, that they don't understand. Maybe a death. I don't want to wear it out, but we lost our 6-year-old granddaughter, you know, and that's hard. That's rough. I remember like it was yesterday. In fact, we had to take another granddaughter to that same hospital the other day. That was tough. Believe me, the same parents, my son and his daughter and his wife, my daughter-in-law, took the next oldest one. In fact, she was having breathing problems, and they sent her there, Eggleston Hospital, the best in the country. But to go back in that building where we lost Maggie, you know, that was hard. And I remember standing at Maggie's, the foot of her bed, as life left her body, watching life leave her body. And there's nothing nobody can do. Nothing. And I remember hearing a little voice say, "Where's your God now? Where's that truth now?" Then you have to dig down to the truth. I'm not a hero, but I know. I may not understand, but I know, right? I don't understand what's going on, but I know this can't be wrong. And he promised that all things will work together for good, right? And sometimes we can't get past that to trust God. Well, if God's so good, why did he let that happen? As soon as I get there, I'll give you an answer. I don't know. Sometimes there isn't an answer.
That's like I was saying this morning, there's some things that happen to us that are so, there's no way we can handle everything.
Yeah.
God gives us a choice on a lot of things, but there's certain things we know instinctively we got to go to God, because there's, in our flesh, there's no way we can
That's handle right.
something like that.
Could. There's, we couldn't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like I say, the only way that well, I start to say the only way I know, the only way that could possibly be to have peace in this world is reliance on God. Is to say, again, I don't understand.
It's in your hands.
That's right. It's all in your hand. It says, cast all your care on him, for he cares for you, right? Turn to page 209. I love this part of Philippians, page 209. Philippians chapter 4. Paul here writes to the church at Philippi, very familiar verse of scripture, is, we'll start in verse 4. Let's read verse 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now that's tough. Simple. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say, rejoice. Verse 5, let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing. Wow.
<That's tough. laughs>
Don't worry about a thing. Jan, bless her heart, God delivered her from worry, so I can talk about it now. She worried because there wasn't nothing wrong. She anticipated a problem. Of course, we owned our own truck, so what could I say? Inevitably, it's going to break down, but God knows that, right? He even knows when it's going to break down, and he's already got that planned out. It's the way I look at it, you know. As long as I'm doing what he says to do, it's his problem, right? Now, it don't work out like I want it to either every time, but it's still his problem. Perhaps he wants to give some of his money out of my account to this shop over here somewhere. Yep. Give Bubba some out there in Idaho. I'm going to send him a card one day. Say, your tire is no longer on that coach, Bubba. It's got Bridgestone back on it.
But thank you for your service anyway.
Yeah, thank you. I'll tell you about it later, brother. We had a flat tire out there in the middle of nowhere. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be... Oh, we're down to verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with what?
Thanksgiving.
If you got the peace of God ruling in your life, when you ask for something, you can go ahead and thank him because you know it's going to happen. Now, let me explain that. When I say I know it's going to happen, my need is going to be taken care of. What I pray for may be adjusted. You know what I'm saying? He still hadn't bought I need that Honda trike, but it's coming. No, just kidding. I mean, I told him I could serve him a lot better if I had one of them. No. But even the things that would appear like a real need, you know, in my life, sometimes he don't do that either. He does something different. And then, you know this, on down the road, you look back and say, well, that's a better idea than the one I had, right? Yeah. He knows. But if we're not totally submitted to him, we're not walking in that peace, and then when these things come along, it trips us. It'll trip us every time. And if we don't look out, we'll wind up flat of our back. So it reminds me of a turtle on his back. And we'll be saying, God, what happened? And I don't ask that no more. Because it ain't him. Right? If anybody failed, guess who? If anybody moved off center, guess who? It has to be me. Right? Because this don't fail. You know? It said, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to who? To God. Then verse 7 is the one we quote a lot. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. But you see, that verse we quote so readily starts out with and. And. Well, see, and is not the beginning of the sentence, right? And by the way, the original writing had no punctuation at all. There was no period. There was no verses. There was no chapters. It was just solid. And we have the translators or whatever over the years and trying to be grammatically correct. I quite honestly, sometimes I like to read past the sentence, past the period, you know, past the verse to get the whole picture. Not to create what I want, but to get the whole picture. If you read a chapter like that, or even sometimes you need to go past that on into the next chapter to get the whole picture. But what he says is, and the peace of God. Well, how does that work when you go back to verse 6, or back to verse 4? Rejoice in the Lord, even when everything's going wrong. Because I know he's going to work it out. I know he's going to work it out. Come on in.
Hey,
doing great. Amen. Come on in and join us. All right. So turn to page 212 in the little book. Anywhere you want to get. We got a few chairs left.
What chapter? Where y'all at?
We're at page 212, Colossians chapter 3. Talking about peace or no peace.
Amen.
Deal or no deal.
212.
And again, when you reread Philippians 4 through 6, then you can understand better why he said, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds. If you're doing this, he's saying, then that'll work. I'll never forget, I'm amused sometimes. I guess I shouldn't be that way, but I'm amused when a Christian comes and asks me to pray for finances for them. I don't have any problem with that. But I ask two questions. One, are you born again? And the person says, yes, I am. In other words, I would say, in other words, Lonnie, you know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. Yes. Number two, do you tithe? 99.9% of the time, they'll say no. And I've had a lot of them to say, I don't have anything to tithe with. And that's a logical answer. We're in hard times. I mean, everybody knows that. I mean, the ministry, we're in the same war. We're in the same world. What did he say? It rains on the just and the unjust. So, I mean, we're all in that together. But what did we say a while ago? This can't be wrong. And he says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Right?
Yep.
He just didn't say when. But he told me, right? And if I'm walking in the peace of God, I'm not going to have any problem with that. Because I know, right? In fact, I'm not on the road like I used to be, and these guys know what I'm talking about, but I'm more in tune with the office operation than I was for a while. But before, especially with a new bookkeeper, before, and I'm not blaming her because she done what I told her to, so it's not her fault at all. But I would forget to tell her to send out what we call our faith seed checks. I would forget. Guess what? You don't plant, you don't
receive.
That's right. I don't care. That applies to an atheist. That applies to everybody because that's a law or principle that God set into motion. All right? Now, I'm a born-again Christian, say, but I'm struggling financially. I'm certainly not walking in peace.
No.
Right? Because I have accepted the deal that the world gave me and not the one the Bible gave me. Because the one the world gave me is more logical. Run hard, make more money, then you got more money to spend. Ain't what this says. It says the more you plant, the more you reap. And yes, work for it, of course. Of course. But I remember days when I went through it like water. You know that old song, there's a black cloud hanging over me? I've been there before I learned. Man, if I can learn to give, anybody can learn anything. Because guy run team with me on my truck said, you can squeeze pennies to Abraham Clyde, run water down your leg, hanging on that money. He'd make fun of me tipping somebody, embarrass me. In fact, he helped me learn to tip because he embarrassed me. Right in the middle of the restaurant. I can remember it like, is that all you going to leave, boy? Just like that. Well, what do you think? Well, in other words, I had to learn that part. To me, it was hard to give. To you, it may be hard to trust him somewhere else, but we all grow it, right? Again, we want to get to that point where Colossians 3, are you at 2:12?
Yeah.
What does verse 15 say? And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Look at the verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. See, we want to get to that point. I've got a lot more scripture here, but not enough time. We want to get to that point where verse 15 is, let the peace of God rule in your heart. What does rule mean to you? Anybody?
Being control.
That's right.
Lead the way.
Exactly. In control, leading the way. The peace of God. But now, if you're worried about something, if let's say, go back to what we said, we had a death in the family, we just don't understand. Finances are not like we think they ought to be. The peace of God is not ruling in our life. I didn't say he wasn't a Christian. That's I'm not saying that at all. This is not that. I'm saying living in peace. Been there and done that. Struggle with it some. But I've come to the point to say, well, God, whatever. We gave the motor home away, you remember that? Just not long ago. And we made it. I say give it away. It was given to us. So that ain't. Can't really say you gave nothing away. It was given to us to start with.
Passed it on.
Yeah, passed it on. Dan said, well, how are we going to get Louisville to the show and how are we going to get, you know, where we need to go? I said, I don't know. We may go back to the car and the motel, which I really didn't want to do. I didn't. Even in trucking, I'd rather be in my truck than a motel. I clean that truck. I know. Clean room. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I'd sleep in my truck 10 to 1. But same thing. I didn't want to do that, but we said, God, if that's what you want. We knew we were supposed to. Well, what happened? Somebody called us up and gave us a 38-foot fifth-wheel camper. It'll be 2 years old next month. I mean, but we didn't know that was going to happen, right? If I'd have done that act based on that act, then that act's not faith, is it? I'm doing it to get that. And I've tried to con God before, believe me. I know you wouldn't do that.
No.
Be stupid enough. Solomon prayed for what?
Wisdom.
But what did he get?
He got wisdom, riches.
He got everything, right? God said, because you have not asked, I'm going to give you all this. Well, Joe is so smart, he's like, well, I'll just pray for wisdom and God will just give me everything. You wouldn't do that, would you? I'm serious, it's a heart attack. That was my motive, and he knew it all the time, and guess what?
Didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. But when I got to the point where in my heart I meant, give me wisdom.
Yeah.
Don't care if I have nothing else, right? Then he can trust you. Then the peace of God. But when we're not trusting God, and I don't mean his salvation again. Please, this is another step. But to walk in his peace when he's changing jobs, right, Lonnie?
Yeah, yeah.
Little shakiness there. Am I doing right?
Yeah.
But if you believe you're doing right and God's leading you, how it comes out is not my problem. It's not my problem. God told me to do it, right?
Yeah.
That's his problem.
Yeah.
I'll never forget signing that. In fact, next weekend we're celebrating 30 years in ministry over here. If y'all in town, y'all coming. Right? You're expected. They're retired. And I'm just tired. He's retired. But I remember flying home and signing a contract to buy that acre of land over there for $190,000. I remember my banker, who's a good friend, brother in Christ. He said, how much you got toward it? I said, nothing. He said, nothing? I said, zero. But I believe God wants us to have it. And the brother in Christ said, okay, but the banker side said, are you crazy? He didn't say that verbally, but you can read between the lines, you know. But again, and if he hadn't done that, shouldn't affect my serving, right? Because I'm walking in the peace of God, trusting him totally.
Right.
All right? Ephesians 2, page 203. Look at it. I got about 6 verses here, but we'll never get that far.
Well, you did say it was going to be long.
Yep. I started to leave the house. My in-laws were over there, and one of them is a preacher. My wife's youngest brother, his family from Dublin. And I said, I'm going to go give him a sermonette. And he laughed. He didn't say nothing. He just laughed. There ain't no such thing. Ephesians 2, right? Verse 14. Somebody read them first few words there.
For he himself is our peace.
There you go. For he himself is our peace. Enough said. That's it. Can he fail? Can he fail? No. That's impossible. If I launch out to do something and it fails, God didn't tell me to do that. Been there and done that too. Okay? Nobody's foolproof. I'm not saying I hit the mark every time. Please understand that. But if something fails, go back to plan A. What can't fail? God. But even in the failure, I can walk in peace. Because one, I know God forgive me. The very minute I say, Lord, that wasn't you, I messed up, whatever, he forgives me, that's it. It's gone. He put control D on that sin. Delete. According to Hebrews, 10:17? Said, I remember your sins no more. Then again, verse 17 of Ephesians 2, he said, and he came and preached what?
Peace to you.
To you who were far off, and to those who were near. What did he preach? Peace. Peace. Ah, oh, God's peace. There ain't nothing like it. Just to know. Just to know. Everything's going to be all right. And don't get me wrong. Even when things look as bad as they possibly look, everything's going to be all right, right? And we have to get to that point to totally submit to Him before we can get into that realm, shall we say, of walking in that peace. It's going to be all right. I don't know how. More than a few times, Jen looked at me and said, "How are we going to do?" And I said, "Oh." Of course, that ain't what a woman wants to hear. I can tell you that right now. When I announced I was leaving my job in December of 87, we had breakfast, coffee, got children off school, remember it like it was yesterday. And I said, "I'm going up turning my notice today." She said, "What are we going to do, and don't tell me pray?" All in one sentence. I'm not criticizing my wife. That's the logical response. Yep. What are we going to do? We got two children in school. But you see, I knew. I just knew in my heart that was God. One way I knew is I didn't want to do it. That's a good sign for me. If it's something Joe wants, it might not be God, you know? But that was the last thing I wanted to do. So this is God. I knew that. And He's taken care of, obviously. We ain't missed too many meals. All right. But remember the game show. Deal or no deal. God continually gives us these offers. All right. Born again, that's the beginning of everything. But then He says, wade out a little deeper. Get out of the boat, Peter. And I know about getting out of your comfort zone, and I don't like it either. My flesh don't like it a bit. Leave everything alone. Right? Don't rock the boat. But there's times when He says, do you trust me? Peter, do you love me? John 21, right? Ask Him what? Three times. Peter, do you love me? And one time He said, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than all these over here? All of these are Christians. They didn't use that word then, but all of them are believers, right? And then He said, Peter, do you love me more than they do? Wow. And Peter said, you know that. You know all things. You know I do. What did He say? Go feed my sheep. One place He said, tend my flock sheep. That's all of our calling today. The tsunami and all that has hit Japan. Unbelievable devastation. The Bible says there'll be earthquakes. The King James uses the word divers places, which means unusual places. There's been earthquakes in the last two or three years, or ain't never been one before. Is this the end of time? I don't know. I know one thing, we better get ready, because it's filling up, right? So remember, deal or no deal? Are you born again tonight? Do you know that for sure? Just in case there's somebody here that is not sure, I don't believe in embarrassing nobody. You don't know me, I don't know you, may never see you again, you know. We don't know. It may be my turn tonight, and buddy, let me tell you this right now. If it is, don't weep for me down here, man. I want a party. Because I want to go there. I want to be with my children and grandchildren. I love that. That's my life now. I just love that. But when I think about Him and the other side, man, won't even need no Tylenol. Won't shake no more. Amen? Amen. We'll be perfectly whole. I'll hold my Maggie and she won't have tubes coming out of her. I look forward to that. Don't want nothing to hinder that. Tonight, if you're not absolutely, positively sure, I want you to pray this prayer with me and mean it from your heart. I'm going to ask you to pray with it pray with me anyway, in case somebody around you needs to pray and wants to pray. That way we don't know. Only God knows who means it anyway, you know. You can go forward, shake a deacon's hand and sign books and go through all the motions and pray the prayer. If it don't come from your heart, it don't do a thing. And like I said before, you can't con God. I finally figured that out and give up.
Yep.
He knows why I think what I thought, let alone what I said. My boss watches me all the time, and I love it. That means you can't get to me. That's the good side of that, as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. We're going to pray a little prayer together. And again, you say, well, I'm already born again. I don't need it. Perhaps it, God may offer you a deal. He's calling you out to a deeper walk. Mean it that way. Say, Lord, in this prayer, we're saying in our mind, whatever you want. Now, that's for you to say. I'm not going to ask you to say that because that's up to you. That's a big step. That's a big step. When you stood beside her a long time ago, Carrie said, I do. That was a commitment for life. Right? We thought we knew what we was getting into. We really didn't. 44 years ago for us. Wouldn't trade for nothing. Has it all been easy? No. Is the walk with God easy? No. Not necessarily. But it's worth it. It's a ball. It's a blast. You say, I don't believe in that stuff. Well, when you pray with us, it ain't going to do nothing. It won't hurt you, but it won't do nothing. Because again, it's got to come from the heart. Amen?
Amen.
So let's just close in prayer together. With our heads up and eyes open, I want you to learn to pray that way. One, I want you to learn to pray out loud, but we'll get into that later. Just pray this with me. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I come to you in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I ask you, Lord,
to forgive my sins.
Forgive me for my shortcomings.
Help me to be
the kind of Christian that you want me to be. Help me to walk in your word. Help me to trust you totally.
And live in peace.
Whatever you say, I'll do.
Whatever you say, I'll do.
To the best of my ability. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Now, we may have meant it at the bottom of our heart. Tomorrow you wake up and Satan said, ain't nothing happened. I've heard that so many times. I like to say, you wish. You wish. I used to be going out across 287, across Texas. I run New Mexico and back. And I remember many times pull over side of the road, reach back there in old Peterbilt, see, y'all had to walk back there. I could just reach back there because that was the end of it. 36-inch sleeper. And my Bible was stuck right in the front where I could get to it. And I just reached back there, pulled it out, turned on the dome light, and read some to Satan. Mm-hmm. Say, perhaps you forgot, buddy, what it says. It ain't about me. It's about this book. And you can't cross it. And you know it. So get out of here. You can't ride with me no more.